Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Paul, I want to start with the thing that everyone's talking about this morning. There's an incident in the game. Hoops, you were watching this. I know you all were, but you were especially fired up. There's an incident in the game where Bryce Cartwright has got to make a one-on-one tackle. I think it was Munster.
Cameron Munster, yeah.
And he
Munster got the ball and powered through and was surging towards the try line. And look, I'm gonna ask Gordon. Gordon, we've all seen the replays. What did you make of the Bryce Cartwright non-tackle?
It's something that he would be horrified sitting in front of his teammates. I know that if I did that, that if I had the video session,
yeah,
and you got to sit there and explain that to your teammates, and that's what I'd make him do. To let him know that everybody's accountable. And, you know, my favourite players to play with was Shane Webke and Michael Devia, simply because on ability, they should never have played first grade footy, I believe. But on their determination and how hard they worked at the gift that they were given to go on and not only play for the Broncos and Australia and New South Wales, it's just amazing. And in their effort, and they squeezed everything out of the orange. And I'm just frightened for someone like Cartwright that I watch him and I only dream to have his skill. Like his footwork, his offloading ability is unbelievable. A bit like Dave Taylor to a certain... And Dave Taylor never reached his potential.
That's the comparison that's now being made, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, Dave Taylor, to go work with Dave Taylor on a footy field, there's nothing that he could not do, which was... And I believe if Dave Taylor had a bit of Shane Webke in him, he would have been the greatest ever forward ever to run on the field. That's
wow.
That's how good he was.
He was and then, good, yeah.
Yeah, and then you get someone like Cartwright that could have a career like his uncle or even better and go on and play in the highest honours and probably lead a club to grand finals is his desire to want to play and put his body on the line. And that's where you get judged in our game is how hard you want to put the body on the line with your teammates. We've all played with guys and they got better ability, but the bloke that puts his body on the line the most gets the most respect in his teammates. And I don't think he's got that at the moment.
Well, what's interesting about it though is last week Mick Ennis came out and said, to quote Mick, that Bryce was taking the piss. Mm. And it caused a bit of a stir. And finally, Johnny Cartwright came out later in the week and told everyone to lay off him. He said, look, I know he's struggling a little bit, but let's just lay off and let him. And look, I didn't agree with everything Cartwright said. He said, yeah, Mick, if Mick has a criticism of Bryce, he should call him and tell him rather than say it in his role as a commentator. Well, Mick's a commentator, and I don't think Garth Brennan would appreciate some bloke ringing up one of his players and telling him how he should be playing. So that's not Mick's job to do. His job is to get on and commentate and to call it as he sees it. He did it. Bryce Cartwright had every opportunity last night to prove Mick Ennis wrong, and he almost went out of his way to confirm it.
Yes,
to confirm that he was taking the piss. Because if you haven't seen the missed tackle, go to the Cameron Munster try on the website. It's on foxsports.com.au where they discuss it. And he literally pulls his hands down, his arms down to his side to allow Munster to go past. If this was horse racing, there would be a steward's inquiry over this.
Right. If it was a Melbourne Storm, right, if he was a Melbourne Storm player, there's no way he's playing NRL next week. I think if it was most other clubs, I don't think, after that, I don't think you could pick
him. And do yourself a favour, punch in Victor Radley's try-saving tackle.
Yeah,
a small guy on Dylan Walker last, mate, when he hits that hole, he's scoring for all money, and you got this little guy that put his body on a line. Yeah. Did you see the
commitment?
Mate, we were sitting in a box.
That was a game-saving
Robinson
play.
Got up. He nearly smashed the glass, right, because of that effort.
Yep.
And he, like, banged the glass that hard. That's a coach. So he got excited, and you don't normally see coaches get that excited. Look at their performance the next week.
Yeah.
Look how all the teammates lifted, and they won 36-0.
The thing is, I think, boys, I think for someone who just watches the game and has never been on the field, they look at that and think at the Waterloo Waratahs. But you look at that and you just ask yourself the question, Hoops, why would an NRL player stop, put his hands by his side, and let a player on the opposition team just saloon right through? Why?
I can't tell you, Anthony. I wish I had an answer for you. Bryce Cartwright is one of the most naturally gifted players I've seen come through in recent seasons. He was he was always a young gun. He was always marked for stardom. Now, he's had some injury issues. He's had some off-field issues as well. But last night, that particular tackle, he made a decision on the field that he didn't want to be part of the game.
I think part of his problem is he has been earmarked for stardom right from the beginning. So he's always received the expert coaching. He's always received the coach's focus. And I think throughout, because he's been so extremely talented, throughout his junior career, he made all the rep sides. He was always the guy identified. He had the burden of a famous...
Bryce Cartwright. He's had the family...
He's had the family name to carry through. But he more than showed the potential of that surname. But throughout that, somewhere along the line, he's missed out on some of the basic fundamentals in the game. And sometimes, like you look at a player like Chris Heinington, who Friday night goes out and plays for the Newcastle Knights in his 326th game, which makes him 10th all time, who was not born with a fingernail of talent the size of Cartwright, yet here he is going out and on nothing but effort. His whole career has been about effort and just busting his gut. He's put out 326 games. He's the measure. Bryce Cartwright should look at him and take an example of what he's done with his career and how he's been able to make the most of it, because Cartwright's got far more potential than Chris Heinington ever did, but he won't achieve anywhere near as much because the effort's not there.
Everything's become so easy for him that the coaches all along the way have let him get away with it, have let him get away because he's outscored him. He's set up all the tries. So the things that the team needed him to do were just swept under the carpet a little bit because of his ability. And we've all played with players like that, that the coaches let him get away with a little bit, but you can't do it in today's game.
The test of what you just said, Gordon, will come this week when Garth Brennan has to name his team and whether he names Cartwright in it, given there's every reason for the players who won't say it publicly.
No, they won't.
They won't talk about it. It won't be put out there this week, but they will certainly be thinking, I don't know if I want this bloke in my team. Yeah. When a bloke just hits a hole and the guy who's defending the hole leaves his arms by his side for him to run past.
I was lucky enough to play at Brisbane, and Alfie and Kevy and the senior players would have walked up and said, mate, what's going on with you? Why didn't you put your head in there? Get your head as close. Why?
Yeah.
And they would ask a question. So the Titans need, you know, a Ryan James, a Wallace, just to walk up to him, or even Ash Taylor, someone that wants to own the side and say, hey, mate, come on. That's not acceptable. We don't accept it. You shouldn't accept it.
Would you pick him?
Would you give him one more chance next week?
Do you give him another chance?
If I was playing with him now...
He's not playing well.
I would train with him all week, and I'd give him one more shot to see whether he puts his body on the line, not his ability.
How would you handle a training week? Would you cuddle him, nurse him, or would you give him a kick in the backside?
I would go and ask, why do you want to play with me? Do you want to play in this team? Do you want to play with the guys around you? And if not, mate, stop taking...
But he's going to tell you. You come to me... And you say to me, do you want to play? I say, of course I do. Well, what's going wrong? I don't know.
Cool.
I just,
and then that's,
I'm going to give you all those answers.
Right. And then that's the first five minutes. And then we go out on Tuesday and we do the train. And then you watch his effort.
Yep.
And you watch whether he goes and he touches every line. And you watch if he digs in. And then when we're doing contact, you watch how hard he hits someone. And then ball work, whether he drops the ball or whether his actions, because you can see on effort and you see all that. Then you watch him again on Wednesday in the weight room and you watch him again Thursday. So you babysit him and you follow him around and you monitor him through the week. And then on Sunday or whenever they play, you watch to see what his first play is like. Jack Gibson, right? I sat with the great Jack Gibson and I asked him for advice. And you know what he said? Son, make your first play your best.
Yeah.
Because from then on, you're either in the game, you don't know what messaging, and then that's what I'd be saying, mate. Just get the ball.
What about this week of training? Would you walk up to a Ryan James or a Jared Wallace and say, listen, I want you blokes to give it to him a bit this week because I want to see how he responds to it?
Yeah, absolutely. And then that's what I was saying, like Alan Langer, like I remember him just pulling you up all the time. Don't worry about this. And then he'd name the player.
He'd do it through humour though, wouldn't he, Alfie?
Absolutely. But there's a bit of serious with everybody's joke. So all the time he'd say, geez, like, mate, we'd be at training and we got beaten up and we got beaten by Melbourne. So off we go and we're playing the Dogs and it'd be Dean Pay. He goes, oh, geez, I wouldn't mind playing behind that pack. And then all of a sudden, you just saw the steam come out of Webby and Thorny's ears. And I'm like thinking, this little smart ass. But do you know what? Tuesday's...
Pusher on
buttons. Mate. And then Webby's getting split and Thorny's getting split and we're ripping into each other. And then just... Because we didn't want to let Alf down. You got to have players in your organisation, Paul, that you're guilty if you let them down. And they're your boss week in and week out. And then Alan Langer, and I remember so many times that we're under the pump and he'd get in at mark and he'd make two or three or four tackles. He wouldn't say anything. He'd turn and just look at you. And you'd be so embarrassed. But you're racing up to make the tackles. But he beat you there. Because of his desire and want. And then that's what the Titans... And then that's what all the sides that that are struggling either. Marty Tapel tried it last week for Manly. He was absolutely outstanding. But then everybody's got to go with you. So when you're putting in that effort, the blokes have got to respond and have that guilt deep down that they want to go with you.
Though, if we go back to what Mick Ennis said about Cartwright taking the piss, and then Paul just said...
The bubbler, we call it on the show.
Okay. And then we go back to what Paul just said. I think what we're all thinking is that Mick Ennis said Bryce Cartwright's taking the piss, and Bryce Cartwright goes out and does that, and it looks like, you think I was taking the piss before? Have a look at this. And if he is taking the piss, and I don't want to say that again, then surely that's a discipline thing.
Look, I think Garth Brennan's got a real issue. He has to sit down, and that effort is borderline sackable from the team. Mm. Not from the club, obviously, but from the team. That's almost go back and play for Tweed Heads this week and get yourself right back. Stand next to Kane Elgee and you guys can have a talk about whether you want to be NRL players or not. Because the one thing you should never question about a professional athlete is their effort. That comes with the job.
Yeah.
You can question talent. Not every bloke's talented. Everybody does the best with the talent they've got. Some go further than
others. But no one gets judged on their talent. They get judged on their effort. Most of the time, Paul.
Well, they get criticised on their effort. Yeah, that's right. You accept their talent, but from a professional athlete, the effort is the one thing that should not ever be up for question from the fans. And if you're a Titans fan and you watched that game last night, you're entitled to sit there and say, hang on, cost me $25 here. Yeah. I work all week.
Absolutely.
I want to come along. I want to watch a game. I want to cheer for my team. I want to watch them go out and have a go. You've got one job, mate. That is to get right at 7:30 Saturday night.
And
for 80 minutes. That's your job. That's what you train the whole week towards.
Fans and players don't like losing. No one does. But they can accept a loss if you're out there having a dig.
Yes.
Mate, if your team goes out
there.
Or
you're having a crack.
Mate, and they're having a crack and they get beaten and they go, geez, they played well today. Yep. Geez, we're unlucky. And then they start talking about the what ifs. Yep. Not, mate, I'm embarrassed. These blokes didn't have a go. And that's... You know, and then every time we went away, and I keep on going back, like Alf would say, let's make the crowd leave early. Let's make the crowd leave early. Well, the Brisbane fans are leaving early when Brisbane are playing. Mm. So that's embarrassing. So all those things that just add up, and they're, you know, your fans are your bloodline, really. They're the ones that you actually, so mate, when you go and train all week, you go out there to play. They're the ones that can actually give you like a little bit more, and then they're the guys that you play for at the end of the day.
Is it worth something? A little bit out of the box, Gordon, for Garth Brennan this week to actually get his side and to get him to go out and, you know, Bryce Cartwright to talk, just get him in contact with some fans or some members or someone like that and actually sit down and hear from people who he probably doesn't associate with that often how much it does mean to them. Because I know sometimes in the NRL you live inside that little cocoon of clubland, and you don't actually... Unlike the old days where you were semi-professional, so you had to go to work and you spoke to people who, some didn't even care about football, but you got all sorts of opinions from all walks of life. Whereas now when I see players, they live in the cocoon of the club. They actually don't get out too often and talk to people about footy who are just not NRL people.
Paul, and you've got to get your motivation from somewhere else, right? And whatever it is. And for me, I just wanted to make mum and dad proud. So when I took the field, I just wanted mum. That when she went grocery shopping and people asked her, because Townsville was a small place and dad's name was hot. And when dad went, you know, finished work, knocked off and went to the pub to have a beer, they didn't ask him because my brother actually didn't quite make it. So he was the big name and went and signed. And I used to hear everybody asking mum and dad, oh, mate, how's Wally going? How's Wally going? And he didn't quite make it, right? So that embarrassed me that mum and dad had to talk and get asked every week. So I didn't want that. And then when I started playing and the Broncos, every Monday we'd go to a hospital or go and see a factory like Arnott's or whatever we would do. And I saw a little kid in hospital. His name was Todd Wallace. And his dad was driving a truck and it rolled over and he burnt. And his dad covered him and saved his life. So when I'm running out on a footy field and I was there thinking, oh, gee whiz, I'd love this or I'd love that. And then like all my goals were so important to myself. And then there's a little kid that wanted to blow out five candles. Mm. Mate, it just made me realise how lucky you are to do what you love doing. And go out there every week and try to inspire these kids to do what they do. And then I think Bryce has just got to go find something deep within himself that what he wants. And if it's not rugby league, stop playing. Go back and play park footy with your mates and have a good time and have a life and get in the workforce and do that. But if you want to play in NRL or play anything at a top level, you've got to find the passion to want to do it.